Hey, John, thank you so much for joining us for the summit. You're joining us from Florida today, right?
I am, Sindra, Florida, where I've been for a few weeks now, and like most people, just here every day.
Me too. I'm getting pretty comfortable in my home.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, I first want to say thank you. I watch your Positive Summit and you're a great role model for this. And I'm grateful that you are spending some time really sharing your strategies and tools with other people today. So I'm so grateful just to see you as a role model and just grateful that you're on today. So thank you.
It's my honor. I'm glad to be a part of this.
To start, tell us a fun fact about you, John.
A fun fact about me.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really anything fun about me, but I would say I grew up in Long Island, New York, in a Jewish Italian family. A lot of food, a lot of guilt, a lot of wine, a lot of whining. So that might be something fun about me. My dad was a New York City police officer, undercover narcotics. And so he was shot a few times. He wasn't very big on positivity. So that might be pretty funny. I grew up in this environment, which was pretty negative. And now my life's work is about positivity. I played lacrosse at Cornell University. That might be a fun fact about me.
Perfect.
And I used to be a waiter and a bartender years ago and owned a bar in Buckhead when I was 24 years old.
Nice. Excellent. Well, those are great fun facts about you that probably people don't know, or at least like you don't know all of them. So the summit is called the High Performance Mindset Summit. And what I'd love to hear from your perspective is like, what do you think the high performance mindset means to you? And I'm thinking about how you, you know, work with different corporations, teams. You've got to interview some of the world's best and be in their presence and work with them. So what does the high performance mindset mean to you?
It means that what you believe determines what you'll create. It means that you stay positive through adversity and challenges. It means that you stay mentally strong during the adversity and the tough situations that you go through in life. And also the pressure pack situations. It means that you don't allow your circumstances to define you, but instead over time, you define your circumstances. It means that when you put the carrot, egg, and coffee bean into boiling hot water, the carrot gets weakened by its environment, the egg gets hardened by its environment, but the coffee bean transforms its environment. And so we can allow circumstances to weaken us, we can allow them to harden us where we get bitter and angry, or we can be transformative in those situations. So to me, it's all about being the coffee bean, knowing that we lead from the inside out, and also knowing that our performance, who we are ultimately, right, is two separate things. Like, we are not defined by our performance.
Yes.
We are free to fail, to not ultimately succeed in that moment, to not make the shot, to not create the win. We are free to fail in that moment. And when you're free to fail, you're ultimately more likely to succeed. So for me, it means that you're not gonna let your identity be defined by anything outside you. You know who you are, you're free to fail, you go for it, you stay positive, you have grit, and you define your circumstances over time.
Excellent. And what role do you think that mindset plays right now in just change and adversity? You know, everybody's impacted by the situation in various degrees, but what do you think what's the role of mindset in your opinion?
Oh, it's essential right now. I mean, this is where you will sink or swim right now. This is where you are just gonna survive, or you can ultimately thrive on the other side of this. So your mindset, your belief, how you handle and embrace change will determine whether you are crushed by this wave of change or whether you ride it to a successful future. So right now, our mindset is so important. Now, it's important to understand that it's okay to not be okay right now. A lot of people are not okay, and it's okay to go through that. I've gone through the stages of grief. Most of us are going through those stages, right? Where we deny, then we get angry, then there's sadness, and then there's acceptance. And I think right now I'm at acceptance. Like, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
And I'm making the best of it. But I went through some of those stages of anger and sadness. Like, I feel like I lost a lot. But what I know is we can't go backwards. So many people feel like this year stole from them the great year, the amazing year they were going to have. And the truth is, we don't know what would have been, but we can focus on creating what will be. And when you're focused on creating what will be, it means you're focused on the present moment right now. Going backwards is a recipe for despair, sadness, depression. Right. We have to live forward. So it's understanding that we're going through these stages. There's a lot of emotions going on. I don't know about you, but I've never been through a pandemic like this before.
No, I haven't.
Most people haven't. So they don't know what it's like. And we got to give people grace. We got to understand that that's what they're going through. But let's not live there. Let's not live in despair. Let's not live in sadness. It's knowing that we can be there for a moment, but we don't want to live there because we don't want our minds and our souls and our spirits to go down the spiral staircase of despair where we are truly impacted in a negative way by this. We want to overcome. We want to rise up. We want to stay positive. And we want to really believe that the best is yet to come and have an optimistic future. You know, people need to understand like, oh, John, that's easy for you to say. No, I've lost like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like,
yes,
I'm a writer and speaker. So when it comes to speaking, there are no events right now. Right. This is going to be a while probably before there are events. I don't know what the future holds. So to say like, oh, that's okay for you. You know, I have a company. I have people I have to pay. We're really, as a company, looking to survive right now so that we can thrive in the future. We're making a lot of changes. We're having to do a lot. Am I down about it? No, because I can't control it. I'm controlling what I control, and I'm living every day to create the future. I've had so much success. There's so much I'm thankful for. I feel truly blessed to be where I am right now. I remember losing my job during the dot-com crash. I remember not being able to pay the bills, this close to bankruptcy, losing it all. I've been there before. And I knew in that moment that if I didn't get positive, if I didn't have faith, if I didn't take actions, that I would really be heading the other way, like jumping into the ocean, like my life was gonna end. I needed to take some steps to go in the right direction. And that prepared me for this moment right now to be able to handle this. So I'm going through all the stages like other people. I'm dealing with the situations. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's about really living these principles and having the right mindset that will help get us through it. So everything I've written about in training camp and the energy bus and all my books, you know what? I'm having to live those right now. So I just want people to understand, like, we're all in the same boat. We're all dealing with the same situations. And I think when people understand that, they can relate to you more. And then they can understand, okay, this is something that's real. It's not Pollyanna. It's not about seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. It's knowing that you have the power to overcome the thorns.
Yes. A couple of things I'm thinking about, John, as you're saying that, I think about like the Kubler-Ross's like stages of grief, you know, like you can actually go in and out of them, you know, you can kind of go backwards. And how this relates to me is like, I was doing pretty good accepting it. And then like over the weekend, I was like, what's happening? You know, I think I was in the anger, frustration, depression. Actually, it was more depression. But now I'm back to acceptance.
Yeah, so you actually go in and out, and like you could actually experience all of those in a day, you know, sometimes. And if you watch the news, you might get angry and then sad and come back and take a walk. And then all of a sudden you accept it again and feel positive. So many people are going through different stages, but the key is, to really work on your mindset right now.
Yeah.
Really focus
on
staying positive.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the negative voices. Don't listen to those negative thoughts. Keep filling yourself and fueling yourself with words of encouragement, positivity, and belief to help you get through this time.
I appreciate what you said about like, maybe you might be just surviving now, but to thrive later. And from that perspective of just like, businesses, I think that's helpful to know that maybe you won't be able to thrive right now, but you can thrive later. So John, what would be like, let's say one of the top coaches that you work with called you and said, yeah, John, I'm really struggling. What would be one of your top mindset tools that you would give them in terms of like helping them deal with uncertainty and change right now?
I would share with them the best advice I ever heard from Dr. James Gills, the only person on the planet to complete 6 double Ironman triathlons. That's 6. Jeez. And then a double Ironman, which means you do one, then another one a day later. The last time he did it, he was 59 years old. And he was asked how he did it. And he said, I've learned to talk to myself instead of listen to myself.
Nice.
He said, if I listen to myself, I hear all the fear, all the negativity, all the doubt, all the reasons why I can't finish this race. Mm-hmm. But if I talk to myself, I could feed myself with the words and the encouragement that I need to keep on moving forward. So I would tell that person, listen, stop listening to the doubt and the fear and the negativity and start speaking truth, words of encouragement to all those negative lies. Because those negative thoughts are lies. Mm-hmm. And they're not coming from you. People think that they are. They're not coming from you because you would never choose to have a negative thought. It's like when you're sleeping, do you choose your dreams? Do you choose your nightmares?
Yeah.
No. And you don't choose a lot of times those thoughts that come in, but you don't have to believe those negative thoughts. And that's the key. Don't listen to them. Don't believe them. Continually speak truth to those lies, speak words of encouragement. So I would tell them that. I would tell them to keep on feeding themselves with positivity. And I would also tell them that right now, fear and faith have one thing in common, right? They both believe in a future that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And so fear believes in a negative future. Faith believes in a positive future. If neither has happened yet, why wouldn't we choose to believe in the positive future? Mm-hmm. And I would also say that probably, that coach is probably going a little crazy because they're feeling out of control.
Yeah.
They have a lack of control right now. And we all feel that way. And I would just encourage them to remember that we have to surrender, because when there is no control, we can only control what we control. But when we can't control a lot of things, we do have to surrender to that moment. And ultimately understanding that that's all we can do in this moment is to surrender, find peace, find a calmness, and allow ourselves to ultimately have peace in that moment. So that way we can stay positive and then thrive later on. So what mm-hmm. can you do in this moment? Like, you can't control a lot of things, but what can you control? Well, if you're a coach, you can work on your game plan. You can work on your practice schedule. You can work on yourself as a leader and get better as a leader right now. You can start reading a lot more books and develop yourself. You can get out there and exercise, maybe instead of one time a day, but now three times a day, like I'm doing, right? I'm taking two walks a day. I'm working my basketball game.
Awesome.
It's keeping me sane. I'm getting good again. Like, I used to be good at basketball. I'm really getting good again. I was shooting today. I'm like, wow, all right. My handle's coming back. I literally, you know, I'm 49 years old. I'm like, and I could jump higher again. I'm like, because for a while I couldn't even jump because you stop jumping, you lose it. I'm jumping again. I'm like, wow, I got some spring in my legs again. So there's some good things that can come out of this.
Sounds like there's some good opportunities for you. Like, there is great things that are happening for you right now, right? And I think that's important too, is like, what's the opportunity that can come from this?
Here's the thing. You just, when you said there's great things that are happening for me, like, no great thing is really happening in for my business in that standpoint, right? But great things are happening every day because I'm serving. And so every day I'm doing this, and I'm Zooming with a team, with a company, and I'm doing all these things, working with leaders still virtually, but I'm still doing them. So for me, I'm doing these things every day where I'm being of service, where I'm creating and putting material out there and helping, and I'm finding ways to be useful and be of service. So in that mode, yes, great things are happening. And I think that's the key. Like, this is not a year we're going to thrive in our businesses. This is not a year we're going to thrive, you know, with our practice schedule and so forth. We need to understand that, but this is a year we can get better. This is a year we can focus on being more instead of being less, right? Right now, my good friend Erwin McManus said, you can become more in this moment or you can become less. Mm. The world is changing, but are we changing? Mm. And my other friend, Brian Buffini, I just had him on my podcast. He said, you know, stars shine the brightest through the darkness, and positive people are going to shine the most right now through adversity.
Yes.
And so I think it's about looking for ways to shine, to get better, to improve. Maybe you're not going to thrive, but you can work on yourself now. I call it survive, advance, like March Madness, survive and advance. We want to advance ourselves, improve ourselves. We want to adapt. We want to innovate and grow so that ultimately we will thrive on the other side of it. Right now, we just need to come back another day and compete again. We just need to show up another day so we don't lose our business, so we don't lose our house, so we don't lose our job, so we don't lose our, in many ways, what people are going through, our lives. We got to survive, make it through it, advance, we adapt, and then ultimately we'll thrive. And I think that's the key. Just make sure we can get through another day so that in the future, we'll have the opportunity to win a championship and thrive.
Nice. So what do you think gets in the way of people developing the high performance mindset?
Well, definitely there's many things. I mean, one, it's complacency, right? They are complacent. They don't think they need to get better. They don't think they need to improve. So they're not willing to get better in that way. Once you think you've arrived at the door of greatness, it right. gets slammed in your face, right? So you already think you're there. The other thing that gets in the way is fear. I mean, fear is the second most powerful force in the universe. And it's the one thing that can keep you from your goal and from your destiny. It's fear. And fear is often disguised as laziness. So someone seems lazy, but they're actually fearful of taking action. So I think fear gets in the way of a growth mindset and a high performance mindset. But the antidote to fear is love. Mm. And if you love it, you won't fear it. Love casts out fear. So when you are focusing on what you love to do and loving the moment and loving the opportunity, fear will dissipate. So you have to bring that love. When I speak to athletes at the professional level and college level, even high school, I help them get back to loving it and remind them that the fear is holding them back and keeping them from being their best. But if they love it, fear will dissipate. So get back to that original joy and that love that you had in the first place when you were competing. But now they start worrying about the outcome and worry about their performance. And if they don't succeed, they're not enough. They're tying their performance to their identity. So no, get rid of all that. Get rid of the fact that your identity is tied to, you know, your performance. You are who you are. Mm-hmm. Focus on the love that you have, the love of competing, the love of playing, the love of working on your craft. And if you do that, that will lead to greatness. Pavarotti was asked about his discipline, the famous opera singer. He had great discipline. And he said, people think it's discipline. It's not discipline. It's devotion. He was so devoted to his craft. He loved it. It drove the discipline. And so when you are loving something, that casts out the fear, and it also drives you to be more disciplined into what you're doing. So you'll never be great at it if you don't love it. You need to love it to be great at it. And I think many people have fallen in love with the idea of being great, but not the process and not what it takes to be great.
Right.
Love the process. You'll love what the process produces. I wrote that in The Carpenter, and it's true. If you truly want to build greatness, that's the kind of mindset we have to have. That's the high performance mindset. Love it. No fear. Trust, right? Don't allow your identity to be tied to your performance. All of these things go into being your best.
Yeah, excellent. A few things that I wrote down. I just appreciate what you just said about, like, love the process and you'll then love what the process creates. And I'm thinking about how this relates to people right now who maybe are not connecting with what they love. I think it's a great time to self-reflect and think about, what is it that I love, and how can I double down on that? Or, you know, even what is it that I love about my work or my sport, and remind myself of that for just to keep you going during this time period.
Yeah, I think this is a great opportunity to really think about, what do I truly want, right? Yes. What can I learn from this experience? How can I grow from it? What do I want now? And what do I want to create in the future? And if you ask yourself those questions, you can become very clear on what it is you truly, truly want. Because to build greatness, you first have to design it. You have to design what it looks like. And for me, when I lost my job during the dot-com crash, in a moment that was, for me, like this, what people are experiencing now, when I lost my job, it was a really great time to think, all right, like you're basically like this close to losing everything. What do you really want? What do you truly want to create? Why am I here? What am I born to do? And that's when writing and speaking came to me. And ultimately, that's what led to the work I do now. So in the worst moment of my life, it led to the best moment, the work that I get to do now. And I wouldn't be able to be someone who is a resource for people now during this time if I didn't go through that moment and then another moment around the Great Recession. So it all happened for a reason. And I think we can use this opportunity to grow, to improve, to self-reflect. And I love what you said about, if I do love it, get back to it. I have a feeling that so many people, they're sequestered, they're isolated. Right. When they come back to be with their team and to play their sport, they're going to really appreciate it so much more. And maybe after a year, they'll lose that appreciation because we're human beings and we often do. But I have a feeling there's going to be such appreciation for what they truly have. Someone posted, you know, when we get back to work, though, we're going to really miss you know, spending so much time with our families and the people that we love right now. I said, I'm looking forward to missing my family again.
Well, I feel similarly in terms of like, you know, I'm missing my friends and I can't wait to get together with my colleagues and my friends again. So it just gives me a time to like sit back and realize like those relationships are most important. So John, you know, you described a little bit about your journey. Tell us a little bit about like how you work to cultivate your own mindset and what do you do maybe daily or just how do you make sure this is really working for you, not against you?
Yeah, the research shows you can't be stressed and thankful at the same time. So when I read this research years ago, I started a thank you walk where every day I would take a walk of gratitude. And if you can't be stressed and thankful at the same time, you're practicing gratitude. Well, while you're walking and practicing gratitude, you're flooding your brain and body with these positive emotions that uplift you rather than the stress hormones that slowly drain and kill you. So every day you do this, the garden of your mind, right? You're weeding the negative, feeding the positive. And you do it for a day. It's not going to do a whole lot, but you do it for a week. You do it for a month, do it for a year, do it for 7 years, do it for a lifetime. The garden of your mind starts to look pretty amazing. And that's what I've done over the years is this walk of gratitude, which has turned into a walk of prayer. For me, that is essential to take this walk of gratitude, one of my key strategies. And then it's really looking at challenges as opportunities. How can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I get better because of this? I say the Lord's Prayer. For me, that's really powerful. Today's Good Friday. That has been a great resource for me. I say a prayer before I go to bed with my wife at night. We say a prayer. God, we invite you into our marriage to love us, to unite us, to heal us, and to strengthen us so we can go strong together and serve you together and raise children that glorify and honor you. Well, now they're 21 and 19, so they're sort of raised, but we'll still pray for them. So that's been helpful. So all these real rituals are key for mental health and mental growth. So I would say that's what I do. And then when the negative voices start coming in, I'm always talking to myself with these positive words and come up with like acronyms, right? LOS stands for learning opportunity, stay strong. Right now we're losing a lot, right? But it's a learning opportunity. Stay strong to create something in the future. Focusing on what we get to do every day instead of what we have to do.
Yes.
We don't have to do this, we get to, right? I lost my mom 14 years ago, learned very quickly. Everyday life is a gift, not an obligation. We get to do this. We don't have to. So you change these little words that help you shift your perspective. And how you see the world determines the world that you see. And the more we see the positive, look for the positive, the more we will find the positive. And again, it's not Pollyanna positive. This is about real optimism, real faith to overcome our adversity, to build great teams and great organizations, and to believe in a brighter and better future. So here's what I know. Being positive doesn't guarantee you'll succeed, but being negative will guarantee you won't.
Yes. Awesome. So John, when I had you on the podcast a few weeks ago, which was one of our most viewed podcasts and listened to podcasts. So thank you for that.
Oh, I'm honored. Thanks.
I got a whole bunch of your books right there, right by my angel wings.
Okay. I can't see them, but thank you.
Yeah. And you mentioned how you were working on The Gardener and then I saw, or The Garden, there we go. Your next book, The Garden. And then I saw it on Twitter that you have it coming out. When will you have that coming out so people can just kind of keep their mind out for that? And then the Relationship Grit book you have coming out.
Right. Relationship Grit was supposed to come out earlier, but now with everything going on, we're going to bring it out in August and September. The Garden we want out now because it's about dealing with fear, stress, and anxiety. So my goal is we're going to actually bring it out for launch team members. So if anyone joins the launch team, and anyone can. So anyone can join the launch team. They just have to pre-order the book. If they pre-order the book, they join our launch team. If they pre-order it, they then get a copy of the PDF of it so they can read it now. And so we're going to put that out probably in May where people will be able to read it now and have the resource now because we feel like people are really going to need it now. And then when the book is out by the bookstore and so forth in June, then they'll be able to get the real hardcover book then. But
awesome.
So that's what we're going to do. So it's a great way to get people to read it now, but then they'll get the book later on. And if we have 4,000 people on the launch team, then that'd be great. If we have 2,000, that'd be great. I think last time we had 2,000-3,000 as part of the launch team. But the goal is to get, you know, as many people as possible reading it now. So
good. How will they be able to join the launch team? Give us just an insight on that before we close.
Oh, if they get my newsletter, johngordon.com, johngordon.com, they can get my weekly positive tip. We'll also be announcing it on social media as well, Twitter @JONGordon11, JONGordon11. So if you follow me on social, we'll be announcing when they can join the launch team.
Excellent. Well, John, I'm so grateful for your time and energy and the positive message that you put out in the world. Your great books, they're phenomenal, and all that you do on social. I love following you. So if you don't follow John, you better go over there.
So, thanks, Sindra.
Thank you so much for your time and your energy, and just for joining us on the summit today.
Thanks for having me, Sindra. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.